Good to be with you again, and good evening to you, your family, your audience. Good to be back and still alive and moving around. I'm thankful and I'm blessed. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being a blessing to us. And again, I have to publicly thank you again for all the many years that you've been on this path, helping others, sharing information, doing the work, man, and for those who listen and follow instructions. And, you know, not just, you know, we're not selling anything to anybody. We just want you to know that we're not promoting pills.
Yeah.
And we're not saying that if you take this pill, that whatever you have is going to disappear. Okay, we're not promoting a pill. We're promoting a lifestyle.
Yeah, you gotta get your mind right. Gotta get your mind right before you can do any of that.
Absolutely. Well, King Coy, if you don't mind, we've got some new listeners.
Why don't we just go right into them and see what they're talking about? They might have something they want to tell me or something I need to tell them.
Well, let's start, if you don't mind. Can you please give your testimony? Because, again, I was telling somebody that you got to hear this testimony. This brother, is how he got started in the holistic health field is absolutely amazing. So if you don't mind, if you could share your testimony, what got you started on the holistic health path?
Well, I graduated from law school in 1980, and at my achievement of my law degree, I took a break, went home, spent some time with my family, and spent a lot of time with them. And I got there, I think it was about the middle of the day, and my mother had just come from the doctor, and she said the doctor told her that she needed to go to Duke University as soon as she could because whatever she had, he couldn't diagnose, and he didn't want to tell her something that maybe that was not true. So next morning, Dad and I got up. We took her to Duke University Hospital in Durham, North Carolina. We sit there and talk. Sit there all day, basically, while they gave her exams and did whatever they were doing with her. And they really didn't give us much information until right at the end of the day. And they say, well, I come back tomorrow. We got to analyze what we did, and maybe we can give you some more definitive information the next day. So my dad and I came back the next day, and I guess it was late afternoon. They came out and say, well, looks like she have cancer of the colon, the breast, and the liver. And they were going to keep her and see what they could do to assist her through the process of, you know, beating the cancer. Mm-hmm. So they worked with her for a couple of weeks, and then the second or third week, they come and say, well, you're going to have to take the chemotherapy or, you know, basically leave the hospital. And that's when my mother and I had a discussion about what I would do if I was her. And I say, well, I think I'd just pack up and go home and get ready to meet my maker. I knew family members and other people that have taken the chemotherapy, and it didn't really matter. It made them worse. And so I don't want to see you needlessly suffer just to die. So she took my advice, and we went home. I felt an obligation to do something about what she was going through, and on my way back up to D.C., I stopped in Richmond to get some gas, and I got a service station, came up to me and handed me a packet and say, you know, you should come to this meeting, this is that, and, you know, I didn't know what he was talking about. But I took the package, I put it in the seat, and I came on back, and when I got home, I was amazed to read it, that it was telling me all the things I needed to know, or a way to find out the things I needed to know about how the body works, how to reverse disease, what kind of, you know, exercises and what kind of food you need to eat. And I was just dumbfounded. So I started working with my mother after that, and I think, you know, we got into the fasting, we got into the praying, we got into, deeper prayer, and we got into, you know, selling her down, because after you hear news like that, you say, why me? And you go into kind of a depression, and you don't, you know, nobody can talk to you, and you are into the disease because somebody told you you were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked with her, primarily myself. We got some honey, we got some other stuff, and we talked about fasting and doing enemas. All the alternative things that we knew to do at the time, we did. And after about a month or two, we went back to the doctor. The doctor was surprised that she was still alive, and they say, whatever you're doing, eventually they said, whatever you're doing, keep doing. And around that time, the company called Nature Sunshine, I got to give them the credit for this, that they came up with this product called Pardiaco. And the Pardiaco was, you know, noted to be, particularly in Mexico, the country Mexico, people were going there with cancer, and they were leaving cancer-free, and it was attributed to Pardiaco, the herb that grows in the Central South America. And it had this reputation of killing and reversing cancer cells. So around that Nature Sunshine was the one that really brought it to America, and I got it because I was in that company. That is the company that was giving me the education and that I was kind of trying to stay close to, because they was giving me what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And we used the Pardiaco. Once we got on the Pardiaco, everything really changed, and she seemed to settle down, and didn't fight the thought of dying so much, that she felt sorry for herself. She just kind of relaxed into it and kind of followed the instructions. And 10 years later, she was still alive. In fact, before she died, she was in the pulpit preaching, and she made the decision to live. I guess that's the bottom line of what I'm trying to say. She went through all the confusion and all the doubt, and she came out on the other side with convinced or with the belief, even better, greater than a belief. What would you call it? She confessed herself. She made up her mind that she wanted to live. Wasn't no maybe or if or the doctor said this. She made up her mind she wanted to live, and that's what she did for 10 years after that. And by that time, I was up in D.C. doing what I do with the. It started out as Yours Naturally. Now it's Secrets of Nature, and I'm still doing whoever comes, whoever I can help, or whoever need help, I do whatever I can to give them what I know to help them. And evidently, it's working. This is 40 years now.
You know what? I got to give you props, because you could have, once you worked with your mother and you went back and the doctors ran all the, they ran all of the tests, and then she got a clean report, you could have just walked away. You know, you could have just
too
walked
often
away.
Too often, that's
okay,
what people
well,
do. Yeah. Too often. I see it every day. The doctor tell them that they're going to die, there's nothing they can do, or they're third stage or fourth stage cancer, and there's nothing you can do about it. And people kind of just walk away. They leave the elderly just to die. They accept whatever the doctors say. And that's a problem to me, because what the doctors say is not always
true. I'm going to make a warning here, because I'm looking at the computer, and it's notifying me that there's obviously some sort of mix up here with the time thing. It's saying we got 60 seconds. So if we do get cut off, I'm going to reset the show up, okay? And then so everybody that's listening, I'll, get in contact with you, and we'll reset the show up and start it back over, okay? So if we get cut off, okay, because I don't know why I'm getting this recording talking about 60 seconds, because we should have an hour or more. So
because the media is controlled by the pharmaceutical industry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me do this. Everybody, hold tight. Matter of fact, I'll text you, for those who are online, that I know of, and we'll start the show back up in about 15 minutes. Okay? All right, everybody, my name is Juwanza. We'll be back. Okay? Don't go away.
I'm still with you.
Okay, they didn't cut us off. I don't know what that was about. Why were we getting that message? Okay, so you were saying your mother was still here, and I'm saying a lot of people would have just walked away, and even I'm talking about even you, after you got the report from your mother that she was cured, you could have walked away. You could have been like, okay, I did my job, but now you wanted to help everybody else get this information.
That is my plight in life, that I took that road and it made a difference for me and my mother. Yeah.
You know what's also interesting too, Brother Coy, is that she really trusted you.
I mean,
a lot of people, once the doctor said we got 6 weeks to live, if you said to them, you know, hey, I'm just if I were you, I would just go home and get ready to meet my maker.
Yeah.
A lot of people would have been like, well, I think I'm going to try the chemo first. You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to see if
you're right. That's what most of us do. And it's still hard today to get people. They come to me after they on the chemo. That's a problem for me because now you have compromised your immune system, which is the only defense you have to whatever you're dealing with. And after you kill it with the chemo, there's not much I can do with it. And I think that's... In fact, that's kind of coming around now as I get further into this thing with the COVID and the virus and the pandemic. The only thing they are doing is what we've been telling people to do all along. Boost your immune system, build it up, and you won't have the problem. And what's happening, what they are doing is giving you some kind of protein that actually hone in to your DNA, and it tells your immune system what to do to overcome whatever you're dealing with. But you don't have to take a vaccine for that, and you tell people that, and everybody's waiting on the vaccine. So what you going to do? Most people that will probably take it because they don't know any better. But if you just take, you know, do what we talk about all the time. Do the fasting, the praying, the vitamin C, the vitamin D. You know, just do what you're supposed to do, and you won't have to deal with any of that. But it's hard to get us to that place because we trust in the wrong thing.
Well, what would you say to somebody, Brother Coy, who says, you know, I've heard of Padiaco, okay? I've heard of other supplements. And so rather than make the changes, now you mentioned Padiaco, you mentioned fasting, you mentioned the enemas, you didn't mention the changing of the diet. Okay, I mean, in addition to that, you took her off of meat and dairy and sugar and white flour and all of that stuff too, right?
I find that is the hardest thing to deal with, changing what people think about eating. And everything we think we know about eating is wrong. Your body is a live enzyme organism, and you need live enzyme food. So when you find yourself confronted with any condition, the first thing you want to do is eat more live food, like juicing. You got to do get you know, green leafy vegetables and fruit and things with seeds in it, so you can give your body what it needs. All the vitamins and minerals and in the proportion that you need it is in the food. And that's the first step, but we are so far from that until it's hard to get us back. We're so used to going through drive-through and pick up whatever we want, drive through another one and get something else and go home. And that's what's killing us, and that's what's making us more sick than we should be, or bringing on more disease. spreading the pandemic, so to speak, that's going on. This is just part of what's been going on for a while, and this is how it's showing up now. And until we realize that, we're going to have a problem in terms of containing this thing. They say they got a vaccine, but nobody knows what it's going to do, and nobody can really tell you the end result. So it's just another stage in the process of dealing with a pandemic.
Well, if we could talk about the immune system for a minute, because a lot of times people might think, for example, that if I just go get some supplements, if let's say if I, you know, start taking vitamin C, I get me some Padiaco, get me some, a daily multivitamin or whatever, I'll just continue eating meat, continue eating, eggs and all that good stuff. And by taking the supplements, they feel that that will counteract the harmful effects of the meat in the dairy. Is that true? Or are they wasting their money?
That's stretching a little bit, but you could say that the process of changing your diet is not like it's going to blow up in your face or something like that. But the problem is that this body, just like you get a car, there's a manual that comes with the car to tell you how to take care of it. Well, we got this body. There's a manual to tell you how to take care of this body. If you don't follow the manual, you're going to have a problem, and you have to come to the conclusion that you have not followed the manual, and you need to get back in the manual. Now, if you don't want to get back in the manual, or if you think you know more than the manual, you're going to have a problem, and that's where we are with most of us now, because we haven't really been educated, we haven't really been taught, we haven't really been shown what difference it makes, because we have compulsory education, and they compulsory education, and they teach us what they want us to know, and they don't want us to know how to take care of ourselves, because that's the problem now. They need to thin out the population, and they need to kill some people so that they can continue to do what they do. But we just have to get in the game. We are not even in the game. The game is being played, and we don't even understand the game or how to get in it, and we are the ones that wind up the victim.
So you have people, if we can talk about for a moment why we get sick, okay, because there are people, I think you mentioned, for example, that when your mother got sick, she was hurt. I mean, her feelings were hurt, because she was God-fearing woman, and she felt like, I've been serving you. I've been good. I've been living by your rules, and why did I get sick? Of all people,
I've been saying my blessing over my food. Well, just because you say blessing over something, don't make it good for you. I guess that's the bottom line. If you say that. Well, in this book, this manual for the body that we talk about, if in the manual they tell you that the leaves and the seeds and the grains and all of those things are made for the uplifting of your body and your spirit, and you're not doing that, you have to deal with that first. You can't skip over that and blame something else for you not obeying what the manual say. It's like... Mm-hmm. The manual say, put oil in the car, and you go around putting water in the car. And then you want to blame the manual or blame what you believe or blame what you haven't done for your problem. But you got to go back and you got to correct yourself first and get in line with what the manual say, and then maybe you have a chance of surviving. And that's how your body is made. That's how nature works. It's just you got to... You can't go around polluting the world with your oil and all the things that we use to ride around. You can't go around and do that all your life or all the life of the planet and not expect it to come back. Karma is going to come back at you. If you put pollution in the air, it's going to eventually come back and kill you. If you go around bombing people, it's going to come back and kill you. And that's what's happening. It's this the natural flow of nature. karma always come back and corrects whatever you have done wrong. And that's where we are with what's going on now. And I think the whole planet is kind of boiling over, and all the inequities that we see with people in terms of poor, rich and poor, or have and have not, all of that's coming up. And they're trying to do everything they can to cover that up other than deal with it. And they don't want to deal with it. But the inequities keep getting greater. And until they deal with it, it's going to be a problem. It will destroy them and us, too, if we don't get out of that. So we got to get
Brother
our mind
Bay
right.
Brother Bay had a saying that God will forgive you for what you do to your body, but your body won't. His name was Brother Bay, and he had a saying,
yeah.
And it was very profound to me, that God will forgive you for what you do to your body. God
yeah.
will forgive you for what you do to your body, but your body won't.
Yeah.
Okay,
true
so,
that.
You know, you could leave here much earlier than you are supposed to. Now, what do you think about this approach to health? Somebody might say, well, God is in control, right? God is in control of everything. So if a person, for example, gets heart trouble and it kills them, you know, and let's say, for example, prior to that person dying, they got the prayer warriors together at the church, right? They prayed in English. They prayed in tongues. You know, they laid hands on them. They did all of that, okay? But then the person still died. What ultimately said is that, well, God allowed it. You know, that must have been God's plan. If God allowed it, because God could have healed them, but God didn't. So it must have been God's plan for that person to die at, what, 45, 46 years old, you know? What do you say to that?
There's also a passage in the Bible that say if you keep doing the wrong thing over and over again, God will forsake you and leave you to die. And that we don't ever
talk
about.
Given over to a reprobate mind?
Given over to a reprobate mind. That's the language that's so spoken. And that's what happens when we think we are greater than God. That's what's really going on. You want to listen to God, or you want to listen to yourself? When you get to the place to where you listen to God, you can maybe have some hope. But if you just listen to what you believe, or lean into your own understanding, is another verse, that's a problem.
Well, Brother Coy, you know, we're in the midst of the holiday season, okay?
Yeah. That reminds me, this is kind of the anniversary of Brother Bay passing and my mother passing. This is the time of the year people start saying, I'm getting out of here. And we can't overlook that either. This the holiday season, particularly up until the week before Christmas, people just start checking out. They just say, this is enough, and they start dying. If you look at it over and over, you know, it's almost prophetic that, you know, around this time of the day you lose some of the closest people to you. But, you know, sooner or later we got to go, and we don't want to be in the way or feel like we're in the way. And we just say we'd rather go, and that's oftentimes what happens. People just decide to die. Now, you can also decide to live, but if you are sick and you can't do anything about what's wrong with you, you just say, I'll check out, and oftentimes that's what happens.
You know, brother, I think that for a lot of people, too, when they hear a testimony like the one that you gave concerning your mother and how she had been diagnosed with cancer in both breasts, the liver, and the colon, given only 6 weeks to live, and then you meet someone in Richmond, and you go back home, and you do start doing your research, and then you figure, well, doctors only gave her 6 weeks to live, so let's try this. What do we have to lose? And then they hear the end of the testimony, which is your mother back in the pulpit preaching and giving glory to God.
Yeah.
In between the doctor saying you've got 6 weeks to live and her actually back in the pulpit preaching, see, this is Brother Coy just gave the short version, you know. He
yeah.
gave the short version of the testimony, okay, because in that there were dark days, You know what I mean? And a lot of times people, for example, there's what is called, I've heard you term it as a healing crisis, that as the body starts to cleanse, you know, as the body starts throwing off toxins that have accumulated over the years, lodged in the tissues and the, you know, in the cells of the body, that the person might start feeling worse before they start feeling better. Now, during that time that they're feeling worse before they start feeling better, they might say, this stuff ain't working. You know, I thought that I was supposed to be getting better, and now I've got headaches, you know, I'm sweating, you know, all kinds of stuff is going on. Can you talk about that, and so that people understand that when you go through these things, you know that this is part of the process. This is part of the healing process, that as your body and your cells and, you know, is going undergoing changes, that you might not feel like dancing, you know, the first couple of weeks, you know, but if you hold on, your dance is waiting for you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That is so true. That's, I guess, that's stage two. Once you start the process of correcting your wrong, all the things we talk about we've done wrong, and we know we've done wrong, and we still think that we ought to be blessed because we're doing wrong, you already been given over to a reprobate mind. And when coming out of that, you're going to have to pay the price to come out of that. And the price is that you got to get all that stuff you didn't want to get rid of, or you don't want to get rid of. You got to get rid of all that stuff before you can begin to right the ship. In other words, the ship has collapsed, turned over on its belly, or turned over on its top. But the belly is up, and you are in the water, and you are drowning. And now you want to get out the water, but you don't know how to swim. So you got to, first of all, learn how to swim. If you don't learn how to swim, you're going to die. And that's the test right there. Once you get through that test, you're okay. And that's what I would tell them. You know, you got to pass the test. If you don't pass the test, it means you are not really willing to make the changes that you need to make to correct the condition you're in. And that's why you die.
So what would you say to somebody, Brother Coy, now, again, in the case of your mother, she didn't take the chemo, okay? She didn't do the radiation. So now she got healed. She got, you know, she turned it around. They went back to the doctor, said all the cancer was gone. But there may be some people out there that say, well, you know, I know somebody who took the chemo, and the doctors gave them a clean bill of health. They took the chemo, and it worked for them. You know, because you have some people out there, you know, for example, during, say, Breast Cancer Awareness Month or these different awareness months, you know, there may be people saying, you know, well, I know somebody. And there may be support groups of people, you know, who have went the chemo radiation way. And understand that I think that I don't know what the window of time is. I don't know if they say after, if you have taken the chemo, or and you know, if after 5 years you're still alive, they consider that a success, you know. But what would you say to those who say, well, I know somebody who took chemo and, you know, they got rid of the cancer and they live?
Well, I would say to them that that's good. I commend that. But you have to look at why, and chances are that person was willing to take whatever it was necessary to right that boat. They either stopped doing what they were doing, or they made some corrections, or they started taking something that they wasn't taking, or doing something that they wasn't doing, and it made a difference, and they survived. It's something in there, and you have to get under the cover to see what it is that would allow one person to live and another person to die. But the main thing that's going to make the difference is what's in your mind. It's what you believe in. If you believe you can do it yourself, you'll do it. If you believe that that doctors can do it, oftentimes that will work too. It may not correct it all the way, but your belief is stronger than what reality is sometimes. So if you believe that you're okay, and you begin to act as you're okay, that can really make a difference. But when you get into trouble, when you don't believe and you don't act, that's when you die.
So for those out there who might be hearing this information for the first time, and they're like, okay, well, I heard that on this holistic health path that you got to give up some stuff. I heard you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. You know, I got to throw away all my favorite foods. I got to go in the refrigerator, clean that out, throw all the stuff away. But if people understand the why aspect of it, it makes it easier for them. If they have to throw some stuff away, it makes it easy to throw it away if you understand why you're throwing it away. So let's deal with a few whys for a moment. Why is meat not an optimal choice if you're trying to heal your body of, say, whether it's cancer, diabetes, heart trouble, you know, anything, arthritis, anything? I mean, what does meat do? What are the harmful effects of meat on the body?
Well, I would say to start with, it's not like you shouldn't eat meat. It's like, we take meat, and that's all we eat, and that's the problem. If all you eat is meat, your body is not designed to eat meat, because meat is another dead animal. So if you're going around eating dead animal, you're going to die. I mean, it take a brain scientist to understand that if you eat dead meat, you're going to die. We are live enzyme organisms, and we need live enzyme food. That's the first step. I mean, it should, beyond that, is just a habit or something that you like to do or something you've been enculturated into, eating meat. And you have to get over that, because that's why we have all these preventable diseases. We get up in the morning, we have sausage, at dinner we have steak, and at late in the evening we have a hamburger. We just eat meat, eat meat. That's the wrong thing to eat. That's the first thing we have to accept. Now, whether or not you can ever eat meat again is not the question. It's what you're eating now. So if you can change what you're eating now into what you ought to eat more grains, nuts, seeds, fruits, and vegetables, you're going to find that you will be able to fight off whatever you're dealing with much better than eating meat. Plus, eating meat destroys the planet. It costs 3, 4, 10 times as much to produce a steak on your table as it does to put on the table what made the steak, the grains, nuts, mm-hmm. seeds, fruits, and vegetables. So if we get to the place to where we eat what the steak should eat or been eating, instead of eating the steak, we'll be a lot better off. The steak is just a diversion into the disease that we are burdened with. But still, you got to get back to your mind. If your mind is not strong, if you can't make up your mind to make a difference in your life, if you can't make up your mind to do what you need to do, you're going to die. That's just that simple.
So now somebody might say, well, I'm not going to live forever anyway. You know, so let's say you take somebody that's 70 years old and they're hearing this and they're like, well, you know, I don't see myself living, and let's say they're not sick. Let's say they're 70, and they might, you know, have a few minor aches and pains, nothing serious, no arthritis, no diabetes, nothing like that. But you know, they're 70, and they figure like, well, you know, I eat my ice cream, and you know, I eat my meat, and you know, I'm 70 years old. I ain't gonna live forever anyway. So, you know, what's wrong with me? You know, eating meat. I like meat, and I ain't giving it up. So,
oh, that's fine. If you want to do that, there's nothing I can say to you to change that. That's the point. I can't convince you of anything different. But if everything is okay and you're fine with that, that's fine. When you have the heart attack, don't call me. Call, you know, pharmaceutical companies.
Mm.
Because eventually you're going to wind up on drugs and whacked out and not know where you are and go into Alzheimer's or some brain disease so that you can't even consider where you are or think about what you're doing. That's the alternative. If you want to do that, that's fine. But I say if you want to really make a difference in what can make a difference in your life, then you have to consider the whole whole body. The whole body. You got mind, body, and spirit. And you have to consider what you need to do to feed all three. You know, with your physical body, your mental body, and your spiritual body, which is where your power really lay, is in your spiritual body. And if you don't get to the place to where you can feed your spiritual body, you will never survive through the mental and the physical part of any disease that you go through. So we have to learn how to bring in the whole picture, the spirit, the body, and the soul or the mind, and of what it takes to keep them in balance. It's like a balancing act. It's like you see the ball spinning around. It's got to stay balanced, and it's got to stay on the axis. If it gets off the axis, you got to do what it takes to get it back on the axis. And oftentimes, it's just making a little bit of few changes. It's not a complicated thing if we just accept it and do it. But we are so much, we want to be so much like God. We want to be God over our own self and God over everybody else, and we are God over nothing because we are dying. And we have to get ourselves in line with the whole body of transitioning through life. And if your mind and your physical body is okay and your spirit is off, that's a disease. That is disease. That's what causes diseases. If your spirit and physical body is okay, and your mind is not right, that doesn't make sense, right? You can't have a right mind and doing wrong things. So you got to do the whole thing. Otherwise, that is the way to death.
Well, what do you say then about dairy? We talked about meat. What about dairy? You know, somebody might say, well, you know, and that's a tough one too, because I love pizza, man. I love pizza.
Well,
you know,
that's the whole thing. I mean, you have to remember, we in the United States of America, one of the biggest industries in America, next to pharmaceuticals, is agriculture. Agriculture is based on growing synthetic foods, basically foods that are not natural. And when we eat those foods all our lives, which we're kind of the generation that's coming around to realizing that what the agricultural industry is feeding us is killing us, then we're going to have a problem. But because the agricultural industry is so, we have poured everything into the agricultural industry. So whatever they tell us, we think that that's what we ought to do. So we go around eating eggs, drinking milk, and eating meat. The main things that kill us. We just need to change that. Think about it differently. Put it differently. It really is not that complicated if we just think, get our brain right. But when you are eating dairy, eating meat, and drinking milk, your brain can't work right. So you need help. You need someone to come in and say, look, we got to make some changes here, and we need to do this because of this and that and the other. And if you're willing to do that, then you can come out better. But if you think it's crazy because you like to eat your pork chops every day, that's a problem. That's your problem. It's not the people's problem. It's not the pharmaceutical industry's problem. It's not the agricultural industry's problem. That's your problem because you don't know any better. And until you come to the realization that you need to change, ain't nothing going to change.
But when it comes to dairy, mucus is a big issue, is one of the big byproducts or side effects of eating dairy. And mucus is a major, major problem. As a matter of fact, I remember Dr. Sabe's position was that all disease is caused by mucus. Can you talk about it?
Well, that mucus, I would agree to that, because when you feel like that the only way you can live is to eat mucus-producing foods, wheat, dairy, milk, meat, all of those are mucus-producing foods. And when you produce mucus, function of your immune system. Your immune system needs live enzyme food so it can move and push and pull. But when you're dealing with eating everything wrong and don't want to deal with the fact that everything you're eating is wrong, you're killing your immune system, and therefore you're slowly committing suicide. So, you know, it's just a matter of waking up and understanding what's going on, because, you know, nobody told us how to eat. Nobody tell us how much water we ought to drink. Nobody tell us anything about how to live. We're always feeding and pushing stuff in us to kill us. The meat, the dairy, the smoking, the drink, the alcohol, all that stuff kill you. Until you understand that, and you're going to continue to die.
You know, it reminds me of something Dr. Lathan, who you know and done workshops with, said one time that I asked her, I said, so what do you say to people who say, okay, well, since meat is that is very harmful, I know that, I agree, or dairy is very harmful, I know that, I agree, I'm just going to cut back. You know, I'll just cut back on it. And she gave the example of cutting back on eating meat and dairy and, you know, harmful things. It's like as if you're in a car headed for a cliff going 100 miles an hour and you decide to cut back instead of going 100. She said, okay, so you cut back. So you don't go over the cliff at 100. You just don't get to the cliff as fast, but you're going over.
Yeah.
Instead of going over the cliff at 100 miles an hour, you go over at 50 miles an hour, but you still go over the cliff.
Yeah.
You're still headed in the same direction because you didn't get off that road.
And that's kind of like a human fallacy. As humans, we like to feel like whatever we do is right and we can do no wrong. But everything we do is wrong and nothing we do is right. So we got to. That is the place where we got to get to understand that we can make a difference in our own self and in everything else around us if we just get to that point. Yeah.
Can you talk about education for a moment? Because for a lot of people, you mentioned that a lot of people just don't know, you know, and your mother had the benefit of having you by her side. I mean, you graduated from law school. I mean, you know, you're an educated man. You knew how to research. You knew how to process information. You know, somebody hearing this show might not have a Coy by their side. So, and they might feel like, okay, well, I heard this information. I don't know any vegetarians. I don't know any vegans, you know. And they might not be, say, computer literate, you know. They might have that as a hindrance. I mean, what would you say to somebody who's saying, listen, you got all the information, but I don't have a circle around me to, you know, encourage me even. Even as you tell somebody that you're going vegan or vegetarian, they look at you like you're crazy. They might try to talk you out of it. They might say stuff like, you know, I know somebody that did that and they died. You know what I mean? So what do you say? How important would you say education is in making this transition? Because it's going to take information. You have to know why you are doing it. You have to know of other testimonies of people who have done it that can inspire you.
And I think we're better at that. I think it's enough information out there for people to find if they look. But there's another verse in the Bible we haven't talked about. Study to show yourself approved. And if you don't study, you can't expect to understand or do any of this. And if you're so busy working for somebody else all the time, you're not going to be able to study. So where are you going with that? There's no way out. Whatever you raise is going to do what you do, and the cycle will continue. So at some point, someone got to come up and break the cycle and say, "Look, hey, I have looked around at all the information in front of me, and I'm able to do that because I got computers, I got iPhone, I got everything I need to determine what I want. I can just speak it, and an answer will come to you. If you need it to come from an iPhone or from a computer or from a school or whatever educational platform you believe in, then that is the start. Now, you got to keep doing that. You got to keep building, got to keep studying to the point to where you are satisfied, to the point to where you satisfy yourself that what you are doing is the right thing to do, and this is how it ought to be done. You got to get to that point before you can really make a difference. And I think that's the main thing that I try to instill in people. You got to get your mind right. If your mind is not right, whatever I say is not going to matter. Whatever anybody says is not going to matter. You're on a path to destruction.
Can we talk about reasonable expectations for a minute? Because somebody might hear this information and they, again, say, you know, this is the answer to my prayers. I got to get by and talk to Brother Coy. And they might come to you in, you know, various conditions, various stages of illness. Somebody might come to you with stage 3 cancer. Somebody might come in stage 4 cancer. Somebody might come with heart trouble. Somebody might have just had an operation. Somebody might have just had their prostate removed or whatever. What? And I assume that a reasonable expectation would depend on where they are when they come to you. But it's got to be very important to have a reasonable expectation so that when you're doing this, your expectations aren't so far-fetched that if you don't get healed in a week that you're ready to quit. Can you talk about reasonable expectations?
Reasonable expectations is that if you think that you can continue to do what you're doing and really make a difference, that's unreasonable. You can't think you can continue to smoke, drink, and eat meat and all that other stuff, and everything else will straighten out. I don't have a pill that I can give you to do that. I don't have a medicine that I can give you to do that. It all begins in the mind. So you gotta, in order for it to begin in the mind, you gotta plant the seed in the mind of what you need to do, and if you don't understand what you need to do, you need to find out from somebody. Talk, ask questions, be aggressive in terms of what you want to do with your body, and find the answer that you feel comfortable with. When you hear the truth, that will make you feel comfortable. Now, you can accept it at that point, or you can continue to fight because, you know, I'm going to buy a case of eggs in the morning, and I'm going to eat them eggs, and I'm going to get me a steak. If you're still feeling like you're going to do that after you come to a conclusion about what you need to do, then you got the wrong conclusion, and you need to go back and reexamine your work and see, you know, your study. Reexamine your study and make sure you understand what you studied.
Can we talk about having a program for a moment? Because some people might say, okay, I know I got to get rid of the meat. I know I got to get rid of the dairy. I know I got to get rid of the sugar. I know I got to get rid of salt. I know I got to get rid of the flour. And they just try to do it all at one time. They just say, okay, I'm just throwing everything out. Okay, but how important is it to have a program to follow, you know, so you can have steps in which to do this, you know? Because, again, if you want to increase your odds of success, it would seem that by having a program to say, okay, let's say instead of trying to quit everything today, you might say, I'm going to wean myself off of stuff. I'm going to give myself 6 months to a year. And by the time this 6 months or 365 days is over, I want to have eliminated, you know, all of the bad things from my diet, as opposed to just saying, I'm going to quit. My New Year's resolution is I'm quitting dairy, meat, sugar, everything. And then by mid-January, you're back eating all that.
That's generally what happens, and that's because you haven't really made a commitment. You got to, or you're missing the brain development to come to the conclusion that, you know, if I'm sitting at the table here and I say this is strychnine, which is a poison, a deadly poison that kill you in 2 seconds, and I got a plate over here to say you eat from this plate, you can got some kale, green kale, or some natural herbs that you can take that will extend your life for at least another few years. If you want to sit there and still decide to eat the strychnine, there's nothing I can do about that. There's nothing anybody can do about that. That's why you die. But if you realize that eating strychnine is poison and it'll kill you, and you make a change, even though it may not be a perfect change and it may not be an absolute change, but if you make a change, that's the first step. Now, once you, as you change, you convince your brain that, hey, this is going to work for me. Then you got you may be able to come to a place to where you can actually overcome whatever consideration you're trying to deal with. But again, the mind is amazing. It's not difficult. All you have to do is affirm to your mind that this is what you want to do, and your mind will make it happen. And somehow we miss that, and we die.
Everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Brother Coy, I know there are people out there listening that want more information. They heard your testimony, and they are inspired by the words that you said, and they know that, you know, even if they, you know, they might, some people might say, this is the answer to my prayer. Other people might say, you know what, I've known this information, I've known that this is the way to go, but after hearing this show today, you know, that's just reinforced within me the desire to, instead of continuing to talk about tweaking my diet, I'm going to actually do it this time. But they need more information. They might need somebody to hold their hand. They might need somebody to give them, point them in the right direction. How can people reach you? You've got an establishment in Washington, D.C. called Secrets of Nature, where you actually do sell supplements. Again, we're not saying that if you buy a particular supplement that is going to cure you. This is a disclaimer, okay? Not saying that if you, you know, get some BPX or whatever that, you know, you're going to be healed. There's so much other things that go, so many other things that go into how you're going to heal, whether you heal or not, the level to which you get better. That's going to depend on you, okay? It's not just about getting a supplement. You got to change your it to a live it. You're going to have to juice. You're going to have to fast, okay? You're going to have to turn down some things that you like, okay? There are going to be some things that you like eating that you're going to have to stop eating. But then, you know what? There are other things out there that you didn't even know existed that taste just as good, if not better, than what you're giving up. So don't just look at it, oh, I got to give up this, I got to give up that, I got to give up this, I got to stop eating this. Think about it from the standpoint of the new foods, okay, that your palate will love if you give it a chance. There's stuff out here that if you didn't know that it wasn't meat, you would think that it was meat, and you will keep coming back for more. Coy has an establishment where they prepare food there in addition to selling herbal supplements, okay? So, but it's not about just getting a supplement, okay? You have to change your lifestyle. In addition to your diet, there's other things. You got to get the stress out your life. You know, if you're in a situation where you're being stressed out all the time, stress is a killer. Okay, so there are a lot of things.
Number
that you
one killer, I'd say.
What'd you say?
Number one killer, I would say, stress.
The number one killer. Okay,
yeah.
So you can change your diet, but if you keep the stress in your life, you know what I mean. So that's why we say it's a lifestyle change. But Brother Coy, if you could give your in-store information, phone number, so that people can contact you, address, so they can get by there, okay? Because it's one thing to hear a show like this, but you got to get by the establishment. I guarantee you, when you go there, you're going to want to come back, and you're going to bring somebody with you. Brother Boyd, how can they reach you, and what are your store hours of operation?
Well, right now I'm located at 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20032. That's 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20032. You can put that in your Google or Googling me, and I come up, or you can just put in Secrets of Nature in any website, and it should pop up, and you can go through and see what, find the one on South Capitol Street, and determine whether or not that's where you can get to, or you want to order. If you want to order online or on the phone number is 202-562-0041, 1-800-273-0041. And if you can call or come by, that'll be fine. We try to provide an alternative to McDonald's or to the fast food places. We try to keep our prices close, and the idea is that if you eat the right food, you won't eat as much. So we try to give you nutritious, healthy food, and we try to provide the supplements and the consultation and everything else that goes into helping you make your mind up to make that change you need to make a difference in your life. So we have the sea moss gel. We have all kind of stuff. Anything from the natural earth, we try to provide. And we know the herbs and the vitamins and the minerals that we need to take to keep our body operating optimally. So all of those things you can come to. If you don't know, you can call 202-562-0041, and we will do anything we can to assist you in making a decision on what you need to do in your situation. And you can decide to accept or whatever you want to do with the information, but the information is freely given and freely accepted. If you want to accept it, fine. If you don't, fine. I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm not going to blame you. But we all have to work together, keep working with it until we can get to a place to where we come to consensus. A consensus means we all agree that this is what we need to do, and this is what we're going to do. And once we get to that place, then you can begin to decide what supplements you need to take to deal with whatever consideration that you're dealing with. So 202-562-0041 is the phone number. Address is 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest. And if you call Southwest DC, 20032, and if you call and nobody answers, just leave a message. It's just simple. Just say, hey, I'm calling because I heard you on the Jawan's of a Life show, and I want to ask you some questions or order some stuff, and this is my number, and I'll call you back. It's not difficult. I mean, that's the way the world is now. Nobody's answering phones because we don't have people sitting around answering phones anymore. And we don't, you know, the world is changing, so we have to get with it. If you can't deal with the technology that's coming up, just leave a message and say, call me. I'll call you back. Give me your number. I'll call you back, and we can work through it, whatever we need to do to get you to where you want to be, okay?
Everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunstan. He's an icon in Washington, D.C. Everybody that's on the holistic health path has been through his establishment at one point or another. If this show has touched you in any kind of way, if you feel like this is the answer that I've been looking for, I know that I need to make some changes. I know that I've been done some damage to my body based upon the things that I have done to my body. I'm clear that, you know, it wasn't some devil that put this on me. Because if it was the devil that put it on you, for example, if it was the devil that gave Coy's mother cancer in both breasts, the liver, and her colon, do you think that the devil would just let her off the hook because she changed her diet, because she just stopped eating meat? You think the devil would change his mind and say, okay, I'm going to take it off her? Because she changed her diet, because she doesn't eat meat anymore, because she stopped eating dairy, because she stopped eating sugar and salt, and because she does enemas now, and because she's juicing and fasting. If the devil had the power to put it on her, it wasn't until she changed and made some changes that the cancer went away. Okay? There's a scripture also in the Bible that says that faith without works is dead. Okay? So
we getting there. We getting there. Maybe we should start a sermon. I mean, start a revival here, man. They think it's time for a revival.
Amen. Yeah. Well, Brother Coy, I want to thank you again for your many years of being patient with us. Okay, because we can be a stiff-necked, hard hard-headed people, man.
The other day,
I know that you have worked with us over the years. You've been patient with us over the years. You've worked. You've listened to us, you know. And you know, I'm a witness because I've been by there and I've taken your advice on things. And as a result of that, every time I go to the doctor, I get a clean bill of health. And you know, and I attribute a lot of that to me listening to you. So again, I want to thank you for the work that you've done over the years. And again, everybody, make sure you call them. First thing in the morning, 202-562-0041. As he stated, just leave your name, your number, and he will get back to you. Okay, but if you didn't know, now you know. Whatever you're dealing with, it can be reversed. Okay, and when we talk about reversed, we're not talking about remission. We're talking about gone, right? We're not talking about, oh, the levels are just so low that it can't be detected. I mean, that's good, but there's good. There's better, as Coy says, and there's best. You want it gone. And that's what we're talking about, right, Coy?
Amen.
Amen. Well, everybody, special guest, Brother Coy, thank you for your time. Everybody, again, that number one more time. I'm going to give it, make sure you write it down, stick it on your refrigerator, so that every time you go in there, you think about King Coy Dunstan and say, okay, well, let me think twice at least. My name is Jawanza, everybody. Thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate you. You could be doing anything, but you're sitting here listening to Brother Coy and I, and we certainly do appreciate you. Again, I'm Jawanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Peace.
Thank you, sir.